Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ready to go.
All right, welcome back to Gather by the Ghostlight, original stories for radio theater. I'm Jonathan Cook, your host, producer, and sometimes voice actor on this thing. And here with me again is...
Devin McSherry, sometimes host, sometimes producer, sometimes voice actor on this thing.
All right, she's stealing my thing, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm glad you're here. She's going to help me introduce today's episode, which happens to be the season four finale. We both said that differently. We got to get fancy.
Finale.
It's finale. Okay.
Finale.
Actually, that sounds silly. Don't do that. All right, but before we get into today's episode, a quick reminder that coming up this weekend, April 19th and 20th, we got our first live stage play event. This is the Off Broad Street Short Play Festival. We did a live audio play recording back in October, but this is the first time we're producing stage plays in our short play festival. And what a journey this has been. Mm-hmm. You know, this was an idea from back late last year, October, November. We took submissions. Hundreds of submissions. Mm-hmm. We narrowed it down to the top nine plays. And here we are, 6 months later. The plays are going up this weekend, two weekends. It's going to be this weekend and the following weekend. I've heard from some of the writers. Some of them are going to be coming into town to see their works, which is very cool. Can't wait to meet those folks. So
this is at Le Chat Noir in Augusta, Georgia.
Le Chat Noir in Augusta, Georgia. So if you happen to be in Augusta, Georgia, and you want to come see some awesome little short plays.
Not too far of a drive from Atlanta either.
Yeah, if you're in Atlanta, if you're anywhere in Georgia, just
or South Carolina.
Or right on the border. Yeah, and the Southeast. If you're in the United States of America.
Come on down. We are in
driving distance. All right, so let's get into today's story. Now, there's a trend I started a couple of years ago. We're only in our fourth year, so I guess it was last year or the year before. But since I produce so many other playwrights' works throughout the year, I like to save the season finale for one of my own plays. And this is a play that I wrote. It was around 2016, 2017, and it premiered in 2017, coincidentally, at Le Chat Noir Theater in Augusta, Georgia. And this one is called That Night Butcher Pete Got Knocked Out by the Cannon Tesori. And Devin, why don't you tell us about this play?
All right, will do. World-class heavyweight champion fighter Butcher Pete Wilcox is at the peak of his career, a living legend with a winning streak to brag about. He never expected, however, that his undefeated record would end in an exhibition match with Jesse the Cannon Tesori, a lightweight contender from the women's fighting division.
All right, now before we begin, I do want to warn you that this story does contain some adult language, so please be mindful if you have any children around. And also, be sure to stick around after the story because Rob Smith is going to be joining us. He's from the podcast that he hosts called Chewing the Fat with Big Rob. You probably heard him on last year's finale, and he's back again. He's going to be talking to Devin and I. We're going to be discussing our experience at SETC and all kinds of upcoming cool stuff that we're going to be doing here this year.
They can hear it at the end. Let's show the story.
Now, gather around the Ghostlight, sit back and enjoy. This is That Night Butcher Pete Got Knocked Out by the Cannon Tesori.
Performed by Ian Russell, Bonnie Marie Williams, and Rob Smith.
The champ's looking rough going into round two, Jim.
That first round was brutal. I've never seen anything like it.
And look at that. Jesse's completely unstoppable right now.
Oh, man.
You see that hit? Oh, the champ stays. Look at his face.
And down he goes.
He's not getting up from that one.
There it is. The ref has called it. Your winner, Jesse the Cannon Tesori.
Unbelievable. What a fight, Jim. Oh, I can't believe it.
Ah! All right, let's see the damage.
Just go on, will ya?
Busted lip. That'll be swollen tomorrow for sure. Probably gonna have you talking funny for a few days.
Take it easy, mate.
We'll get some ice on it. Hematoma around your left eye. You got clogged pretty damn good.
Oh, Jesus, Mikey. You come in here to rub it in?
Come on. No fighter can go undefeated forever.
Are you kidding me? A bleeding loss on my record to... that lightweight, Tesori.
Jesse the Cannon Tesori is one of the best.
Not even in my league, Mikey.
Take it easy. This was only an exhibition match. Just a little something they felt the fans would get a kick out of. Think of it like a scrimmage. You still have your title.
Well, this will be the fight everyone remembers. Don't matter if it's official.
What do you want me to say, huh? Want me to sit here and cry about it with you? Hold your hand for a little while, wipe away your tears, and join you for a verbal rampage on Tesori?
Oh, just tell me this is a dream. Tell me I'm gonna wake up in that ring again, ready to fight.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe you're just having a little dream right now, in the ring. Either way, it still means you got knocked the fuck out.
Can't show me face in this circuit anymore. I've never lost a match. And that... little shit gets my number with a couple of lucky punches.
You sound like a bratty child. You want to quit and move back home to mommy in Bristol just because you lost one fight? You're the heavyweight champ. You can't quit.
Oh, they're going to be showing that knockout on every channel for the next year. I know it.
No matter. It's already all over the internet, kid.
What? The match just ended. God, blimey. Fuck technology. Fuck computers. And fuck all these assholes with their... fucking stupid little smartphones. It should be illegal to put that shit on the internet.
Listen to yourself.
I want them arrested, Mikey. All of them. Lock them up at Her Majesty's pleasure.
Come on, Butcher. Get your head straight, will you? You're up against Sanchez after the new year, and I don't need you psyching yourself out with this one lousy defeat.
Sanchez. Oh, God damn it. Oh, that bloke's gonna throw this in my face every chance he gets. I know it. He'll be... dishing out insults in every interview. Gonna do his best to embarrass me. Ugh, never lift this down.
No, you won't. And maybe it's time for me to retire, cause you threw everything I taught you straight out the window tonight.
You don't mean that.
The hell I don't. I can see it all over your face. You thought this was gonna be a gimme match against Tesori, and you got too cocky out there, kid. You were leaving yourself wide open. What do I always tell you, huh? Hands up, elbows in, every time, Butcher. It was bad form all around. You left your face wide open, and your feet? They were all over the damn place. Looked like you were dancing on hot coals.
Well, it felt like I had control the first round.
Your feelings don't make it a fact.
But they get some solid hits in.
You call those hits? I've seen kittens do more damage to a ball of yarn. Do you even remember anything from the second round?
Yeah.
Yeah? All 16 seconds of it?
Right out of the gate, that... rabid slag launched at me.
Yeah, like a cannon. Blasted you with the 1-2.
This is a career ender. It is, Mikey. God, one night of hardliners, and I bet half my sponsors are going to sack me after this.
All right. Enough. Have a drink. Sleep on it. There's nothing to do now but get over it. You're Butcher Pete Wilcox, the pistol from Bristol, a legend among men. Even with this loss, no one else has a record like you. And no one else has a coach like you. I like to rattle your cage a bit, but I'm through listening to you derail yourself. Call it an off night. Call it a stroke of bad luck. Call it bad karma catching up to you for snubbing that Kentucky kid's make-a-wish. Call it whatever you want. But you're gonna get your ass back in the ring when the time comes. Oh, evening, Jesse. I think you may have taken a wrong turn.
Hey, Mikey B. Can I speak to Butcher for a minute?
Yeah, he's right here.
In private, please?
Oh, sure thing.
She's not supposed to be in it.
Calm down, kid. I'll go get you that ice pack. Nice fight, Tesori.
All right, so what brings you here, eh? To the men's locker room. I can't imagine there's anything important for us to chat about.
I know what you did.
What on earth are you on about?
Tell me why.
Why what?
How much money was in it for you to fall in the second round?
What?
Don't act brain dead with me, pal. I barely tapped you, and you went wobbling like a toddler learning to walk. What was in it for you, huh?
You really...
Cut the crap, Butcher.
Well, you know, I would have destroyed you if I'd have gone full force.
That's bullshit. Are you just saying that because I'm a girl?
You have less experience. Your winning streak has been against less than formidable opponents. And, yeah, you're a girl.
I'm not going to accept a win that's handed over this way.
Take it and clear off.
I would have won that match with or without you taking a dive.
In your dreams, love.
I want a rematch.
What? Oh, come on. You won. Victory's yours. Congratulations on defeating Butcher Pete Wilcox. You'll be a legend by tomorrow morning. Someone may even write a song about you.
I called you out for a legit challenge, and you've turned it into some petty game.
Well, my six-year-old ankle-biting nephew called me out last week. And guess what? I'll let him win, too.
All right, hotshot. Next time, I'm going to tell the conference to make it official. No more of this showcase exhibition bullshit. I bet you take it more seriously then.
That'll never happen. This was a one-off event. Just something to entertain the fans.
You asshole. I promise you I'll make it happen. I train 10 times harder than you, and no one comes close to my stats in my division.
Yeah, right. Your division. The ladies' division. It don't matter how much you fancy my title, you don't have a chance. They won't allow it.
Quit being a little bitch.
Excuse me?
You heard me. Put on your big boy pants and bring me a real fight. I'll murder you.
You're gonna bring out the cannon, love? Yeah? Is that the right or the left? I couldn't tell. They both felt like sweet kisses from your mum.
Go screw it, go, hey. You fucking Irish prick.
I'm British.
Whatever.
Settle down, will ya? I'm only taking a piss out of ya. Just having a bit of fun, that's all. Look, you connected some good shots. Gave a nice right knuckle to Midoriya. Well, I was feeling a bit numb as well. And no doubt you're definitely faster than most opponents I've faced. You were striking like a bloody rattlesnake out there. You got a lot of bottles, sure, but you're far from perfect. You got flaws, just like the rest of them. If you ever want to swing by my gym and join a session with me and Mikey B, you got an open invitation.
Huh. Is it the building with the sign out front that says Chauvinistic Dickhead Training Camp?
I invite you to get some pointers from a world-class trainer like Mikey B. And you go and say something like that.
Wow. Your hubris becomes you.
Listen, a lady has no place in the ring against a man, period. I know you don't want to hear it, but that's the blunt truth of the matter. We're built differently. And that's just how things are. Oh, yeah, but we're living in this feminism generation where the female's this symbol of strength and power. So, yeah, I decided to give the world a little taste of entertainment. You know, that's all they really wanted, right? The underdog victory, the iconic courageous woman overcoming a testosterone-driven male, Samantha beating Goliath. Just like that, the sport gets a bump in the ratings. And you gain the respect of new fans that will be at your next match, pulling for you and all your glory. Just don't let them down's the only advice I have for you.
And what about you? What respect do you gain from this?
Well, one loss in an exhibition match ain't gonna break me, love. I've already shown my worth over the years.
I don't know why you consider that to be honourable. You think you're doing some kind of good for women by letting me win? I don't want your charity. I want you back in that ring and I'm gonna give them all an honest knockout, you son of a bitch.
Whoa, settle down, settle down. The match is over.
I'm meeting with Jimmy first thing tomorrow. I'm gonna petition for a rematch, and if there's anyone that will be able to make it official, it's Jimmy. Don't think you've seen the last of me in the ring.
Rematch, you already won.
Did I?
Butcher, what's this all about? What did you say to her?
Holy shit, Mikey. She thinks I threw the fight.
Threw the fight?
Yeah. She says the punch that ended the match was barely a jab.
Butcher, come on. Tell me you didn't take a dive.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Mikey. You know me better than that.
Well, I'm going to set all of this straight. We don't want her damaging your credibility by spreading rumors about you faking the knockout. That would be a PR nightmare. Let me make a few calls.
Well, hold on a sec. I don't know. Maybe that's the kind of thing I need.
Have you lost your mind? You want those kind of rumors floating around about you?
Think about it. Rumors are neutral. It's all about the perception of the audience. Rumours can be more exciting than the truth. If we let something like this get out, then people may think I was doing her a favour, you know? Just helping her out with her career. My title wasn't on the line, so in their eyes, they'll see that I had nothing to lose. They'll say, oh, there's the butcher giving that little lady his full support. We all know he could annihilate her if he was really giving her a go. And it's all Chinese whispers from there.
You want people to think you threw the fight?
Here's the thing. If I ever get asked about it directly, I'll just tell the complete truth. I gave it my all, 100%. Yeah, I'll talk about how great of a fighter she is and that sort of thing. And then, Bob's your uncle. They'll eat it up, Mikey. And rumours have power. Sure, many will accept the truth, but in the back of their minds, there'll always be some doubt. No matter what I say.
They'll always wonder if you faked the knockout to make her look good.
Yeah. It'll be a walking conspiracy theory.
I don't know, Butcher.
Come on, it's brilliant.
Well, at least you're not moping around anymore. And what about this rematch? What does she mean she wants to make it official?
Well, she wants to beat a champ. Who doesn't? But surely they'll never cross the men and women's division. Well, not for a valid title match anyway.
I've seen crazier things happen in my day. What if they allow it? You gonna give her a go again?
Fuck no. That girl has pit bulls for hands. Look at me. I ain't been this bruised up since that time I went 5 rounds with old Tommy Colchin.
Pit bulls, huh? I thought you called them lucky punches.
Well, in the end, luck's always to blame, innit?
You are a piece of work, you know that. Here, get some ice on that lip. I'll tell him to pull a car around.
Butcher Pete, the walking conspiracy. Yeah, that's good stuff.
That was That Night Butcher Pete Got Knocked Out by the Canon Tesori. It was performed by Ian Russell as Butcher Pete, Bonnie Marie Williams as Jesse the Canon Tesori, Rob Smith as Mikey B, and Valentin Angel Fernandez and myself as the ring announcers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, so with us now, Devin's still here, obviously. But we got Rob Smith.
Hello.
From his podcast that he hosts, Chewing the Fat with Big Rob. Like I said earlier, he helped with the season finale last year, and he's back again to sort of talk to me and Devin about upcoming stuff and this episode everyone just heard and whatever we end up diving into, I guess. You know, because Rob is like one of the best interviewers in town.
Oh, whatever.
If you haven't heard his podcast, Chewing the Fat with Big Rob, look it up. He always has great guests and always very engaging interviews. He's a great, great podcast to listen to.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'll pay you later.
All right.
I appreciate that. So if you can find the website, chewingthefatbr.com or on any podcast platform, Chewing the Fat with Big Rob, definitely take a listen. Jonathan was one of my first interviews. As a matter of fact, as I was launching my podcast, you were launching your podcast. And of course, we've worked together in the theater for quite a while now, as well as Devin too. So I appreciate being a part one of your productions. So it was a treat to play Mikey B in this last episode. I really appreciate that. And it was interesting too, because usually you'll bring me in for like Santa and some character work, and your directing has gotten so much better than it used to be, like in the early years. And I don't mean that as like a slight to how you were a great director before, but I just think your ear has now become more attuned to what you want your product to sound like and what you want the podcast to sound like and how to get those performances from your actors. So I really appreciate that and allowing me to be a part of this last episode. It was really cool.
That's I'm glad you brought that up. It has been a process. The first year I felt like I didn't know what I was doing. Really, like I've directed stage shows, but this is a totally different medium.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cause the voice actors had, you can't sound like you're just reading from a script, because a lot of it, you don't have the full rehearsal process like you do with a stage play. I mean, with a stage play, you're rehearsing like 6 weeks. You really dive into the character. You have the lines memorized. You can make things sound natural as you go. Whereas my voice actors usually have the script in front of them. And the trick is, you know, making it sound natural. Don't make it sound like you're reading from the script. So there's a little bit of, you know, that... the audience has to hear your brain working, find those moments to kind of search for the words in a sentence and don't just, you know, read it off like you're just vomiting it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we usually do, you know, at least a few takes, but it's not like you can come back later and change your decision. It is what it is.
Yeah. A lot of those takes usually come from my decision. I'm like, I want to hear it this way too. Let me just get some variety. But a lot of the times I end up using what instinctually the actors do. That's what, whenever I record, I think I said this last year too, is that whenever I record voice actors locally, I like to let people do what they feel instinctually, how a line should be said before I coach them another direction. Mm-hmm. I like to kind of hear what they saw, how they interpreted it before I, you know, say, well, let me hear it like this. Do it with this tone. Maybe you're angry here. Oh, get really feisty on this line. You know, stuff like that. I like to hear what they come up with.
And, you know, that's changed with the podcast as well, because originally, you know, the first few seasons, as far as I know, it was almost 100% local talent here. We're in Augusta, Georgia is where we're at. And that was pretty much your talent pool. Of course, we were also in a pandemic and it was and we were in closets and masks and things like that. But in the past couple of years or seasons, it seems like you've opened up to more of these, you know, talent from across the country, from across the globe even.
Yeah. And that's been some of it's been challenging because you never know what remote actors, what they record, if it's going to blend in with what I record.
Quality of equipment. And
exactly. And I feel like I have pretty good equipment. The episodes that I do release that are all local, they all sound like I went to a full-blown legit studio, even though we're just here in one of the rooms in my house here. So that's the challenge. Like some remote actors, you know, they may have the good equipment, but if you can kind of tell they're just reading from in a closet and you can kind of hear that difference in the tone, it's really hard to use what they recorded with, you know, compared to what I'm doing here.
Right.
And being a local actor, I really appreciate when you get a few of us in here who are recording at the same time so that you can work off the other actors, because that totally gives a different feel as well. So, I mean, a lot of remote actors can work without that interplay, but I think as an actor, it's more fun to have someone to play off of.
Yeah, that's the other big thing is that, like you said, remote actors, they're basically saying lines from the script. They're not feeding off of other people. Mm-hmm. They're not hearing the way the line was delivered before their line. Whereas the benefit of recording locally, if I get everyone here on the same schedule, two or three actors, man, you guys just... bounce back and you kind of, you know, the tone right away because you heard the way the previous actor said the line before you. And that's, I love recording locally. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's hard to have people in and out of my house every single week. So it's like, it's nice to be able to reach out to remote actors and be like, yeah, could you, you know, record this? And that way I can be recording this other one while you're doing that. And then it just lets me, you know, get a better groove of everything.
Do you do a directed session with your remote actors or have you done that? Or do you just kind of give them like, hey, here's the feel and then let them go at it? Or do you actually try and do like a live directed session? Well,
I haven't really used many remote actors until this year, like the last few episodes. And basically what we did is we got together on a Zoom call. We kind of read through the script. And just from reading through that, you know, I heard how they were instinctually, you know, interpreting the script. And then I gave them a few notes, sent out some emails. And then from there, they just kind of took it from there. But in that sense, they got to hear what the other actors were what they initially had come up with when we did the first reading.
That's cool. Is that something, I mean, I know your heart is local to your community and, you know, local actors and things like that, but I think that would, you know, even as a performer, that would be very cool to be able to do a co session where it is, you know, a directed session with a remote actor and somebody local here that are playing off each other or something like that. Is that something that we might could look forward to in the next season?
I mean, all options could happen. these past few episodes recording remote actors, it was more of an experiment. I just wanted to, because I would love, historically, I've been doing, you know, usually two episodes a month is usually what my capacity is on being able to put out. But if I can get more remote actors involved, then that would kind of let me pick up the pace and possibly do, you know, one a week or even, you know, three a month or so. That was kind of my goal with trying out some remote actors, which all have been great to work with so far. And anytime I've needed retakes, it's, you know, it's quick and easy. They just, you know, within 24 hours, they got me new takes. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, like you said, I guess having people coming in and out of your actual house is, you know, you got a family downstairs and trying to get them to be quiet while you got, you know, people, you know, up here and stuff. It can cause challenges and strains outside of the product as well, I would think.
Just a little bit.
For Gather by the Ghostlight, you guys are a nonprofit. You have now become an entity unto itself that is relying upon the kindness of others to help the product keep going, to help Gather by the Ghostlight keep going, to help these playwrights have their stories heard, to help these actors use their talents to bring these stories to life. What was that process like going from, hey, I had an idea, to now it's this thing and it has a life of its own?
Well, let's see. I guess a little bit of a history here. So the first year, you know, it was pandemic year, as you know, theaters were shut down. So I had audio plays I'd already recorded. And so I just started putting those out. And I wanted to make them sound better, so we started going to a studio, which they sounded great, but that was just a very expensive way to record a podcast. Yeah. And then, you know, along the way, a year later, the local arts council kind of found out what I was doing, and I had applied for an individual grant. Mm-hmm. Because that first year, I wasn't, my writers, my actors and all that, you know, it's a podcast. You know how this is. You don't get paid really to do a podcast. So there was no income. So I wasn't able to really pay anyone. But I got a grant that first year after doing it for a year. And so when I was trying to calculate how much money I needed to ask for, I you know, took a full year's worth of episodes. I divided it by this much. And I was like, okay, if I can get this much, I can pay the actors this much, the writers this much. It's not a ton of money, but, you know, it's something. It's more than making them work for free.
Yeah.
So I submitted and I got it. And then the next year, when all that money ran out, when I went to apply again, they had said, oh, well, we're not doing grants for individual artists anymore. Mm. You got to be a nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
And so what did my dumbass do? I turned this thing into I think it was a good choice. I turned it into a nonprofit organization, which technically means it doesn't belong to me anymore. It's a, it's an organization
you
for the people.
Ask for help. Oh no. Yeah.
Now I got board members and we collectively make decisions. But on the plus side, donations, if anyone that donates to Gather by the Ghostlight, it's a, you know, it's tax deductible now because we are, you know, a 501c3 organization. That's how that happened. That was the journey of that. It's still, you know, I get a few donations through the Buy Me a Coffee site each month. Mm. It's not a ton. You know, I'm still in the hole every episode. I'm still self-financing this thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a passion and, you know, it's an art that I want to continue. And for now, I can keep continuing it. So I will.
Yeah.
And it's led to branching out to other things as well. Now we've got our live event coming up. And publishing going on, so lots of stuff going on.
So back in October, both of you were actually a part of this. We did a live recorded show, Kingdom.
Yeah,
that was the first time, you know, doing a live event. You know, this has always been recorded at home in my house, or when I used to go to the studio, or whatever, or through remote actors. And then that was the first time I put together a live show, and it was a great success. Sold out.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of people had a lot of fun with it. We were able to record it, release it as an episode. So then we just got more ideas. Me and me and my Devin here and other board members. And so we came up with this idea about the short play festival. So around October, November last year, we started taking submissions. We got over 700 submissions.
Wow.
Narrowed it down to 9 with the,
whoa,
with the small, which it was only supposed to be 8.
Okay.
But we had this,
we can't choose.
Exactly. We had, you know, with the small panel of readers, we were all constantly reading. Every script got read at least once. And then about 150 went on to the semifinalist round where they got read again by other members. And then from there, we were trying to narrow it down to 8 and we're like, you know what? We have to do 9 because I don't know which one to trim out here. This is like, because all right. the
variety is amazing, and it's from writers all around the world and all backgrounds. It's really cool.
And at the time of us recording this, the short play is coming up in how many weeks?
Less than a week.
Next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
2 weekends of performances.
So at the time that this episode should drop, then it should be coming up this weekend.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. Wow. And that's going to be here locally at Le Chat Noir.
Yes.
You know, that makes sense. It should pick 9 lives for the Black Cat.
There you go.
We did that on purpose. So smart.
We did that on purpose. Man, that's that was a good thinker on our part.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and some of the writers have said they're going to be coming in town, or they're going to try. I got confirmation for like 3 so far, so mm-hmm. I'm hoping that more of them are going to be coming in town, because it'd be great to meet everyone and just have a big mingling party and
support each other.
It's been going great. You know, rehearsals, everyone's enjoying it, all the cast.
And the casts are all local performers? Are there any folks that are coming in from outside?
No, it's all local performers. They've regular stage actors in town that I was able to scam into doing this. No, they're all having a lot of fun with it. It's great.
Now, will those performances be turned into episodes of Gathered by the Ghostlight? Are you going to record them?
So this is a good time to kind of go into what we have planned for season 5, which I know this is kind of the season finale of 4, but really there isn't going to be a long break. We'll probably be launching new episodes, and you know, by the end of May, early June at the latest. So what season 5 is going to consist of is, you know, we got over 700 submissions. And so we have a big pull, because that was one of the things when we put out the submission call, we're like, look, if you don't make it into the top 8, which it turned out to be a 9, mm-hmm. we're still going to consider producing you as an audio play. Because and there are so many good scripts that came in.
Yeah.
And it was hard to narrow it down, but we had to. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of material that we have to choose from. But we're also leaving room for discovery. We're not just totally
closed off. Yeah. You know, that's no it. More. Those 700, we're not going to look at anybody else.
On the new play exchange, I have a personal goal. I try to read at least 1 play per day, whether it be a 10-minute play, whether it be a monologue, whether it be a full-length play. I try to at least read 1 play. So I'm always discovering new things that I would like to produce. Now, as far as the 9 stage plays in this festival, I think every single one of them would work as an audio play. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And that was when we were determining the stage plays, we didn't really have audio play in mind. We just wanted to make sure, okay, is this going to look good on stage? Because that's what this event was.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
But, you know, rehearsing them all this week and directing them, they could all totally work as audio plays as well. So the goal is that all 9 of those should have their own audio play episode.
Very cool.
If the writers agree on it, you know, I'll reach out to them and be like, hey, it's time to do your
because it's a little bit different licensing. I would assume, you know, when you're asking for somebody to perform their work on stage, as opposed to now that's this recorded thing that it's kind of lives in perpetuity. Yeah
And that's always a tricky kind of area, because one of the things I have to tell all the writers is, it's cool that you want me to do this, but just know it's going to sit out in podcast land. You know, if this is a play that you don't want people to just have access to hear it whenever they want to, because I understand that with full length plays, because a lot of theaters, you know, a lot of theaters that want to produce full length plays, they don't want it just readily out there for anyone to just kind of, you know, hear or experience whenever they want to. Mm-hmm. But what I'm hoping is with a lot of the short plays, that's kind of a good a good writing sample for a lot of writers out there. You know, if they're trying to get their full length plays into theaters, they can be like, hey, go listen to this episode that I wrote as a sample of what other stuff I can do. So,
yeah, no, that'll be great. And hopefully they all agree to that. Cause I'm excited about the short play festival. Devin, you're a board member and you mentioned something a moment ago also about publication. So that's a different, it's not an arm of Gather by the Ghostlight podcast. It's its own entity as Ghostlight Publications, correct?
Correct.
And what is that?
So, we started publishing full length plays. Obviously it's not under our, what's the word?
It's not under our Gather by the Ghostlight.
Yeah.
It's its own entity. It mm-hmm. has its own LLC, its own business license.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ghostlight Publications is its own thing. It's more of a partnership.
Yeah.
So a lot of the writers that I've worked with on Gather by the Ghostlight, the ones I'm familiar with are the ones I kind of reached out to first after reading. Because when I read the short plays to find audio plays to produce, I've also read a lot of these writers' full-length plays. And mm-hmm. there's some great stuff there. And, you know, there's a lot that I want to do something with, and it's hard to commit to producing a full length audio play. So
right.
The other option is, hey, you know, if you're not published yet, I would love to publish this and push it out to theaters that might want to produce it. And that's kind of where that started.
Gotcha. Yeah. And we went and saw one production called Verlassen that was written by a local, author at the college. And so we went and saw that and we're like, you know what, this is good. We should publish this. So
yeah, that was a local university student named Avery Lewis, mm-hmm. which before publishing was even an idea, we saw that. It was like May or something of last year. So we went and saw that, and it was a great play. And I'd actually talked to her about doing an audio play of it, but you know, like I said earlier, it's hard to commit to doing a full length audio play. I don't have the bandwidth to do that so often.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when this publishing thing came along, I talked to her about that, and now she was totally thrilled, you know, and now her play, Verlassen, mm-hmm. it's her first play she ever wrote, and it's amazing.
Yeah. Mm.
She let us publish it in our Ghostlight Publications catalog.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, just so that I know, I mean, you're the, that now they can say they're officially a published author,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're the publication. And then you kind of put it out there for people to then contact you and say, hey, we'd like to produce this play, or we'd like to purchase this script or whatever. It's kind of how that works, correct?
Yeah, just like any other play publishing company out there, Samuel French, Dramatist Play Services.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay. You go to those websites, you can buy
check the
script.
Catalog.
You know, get a digital, you can get a paperback copy, and
performance
then,
rights.
Yeah, on the site, you can look at getting performance rights.
That is so cool.
I mean, it's a new endeavor.
Yeah.
The catalog's small for now, but it's going to grow.
Small.
But if there are people that are, as you mentioned, some of the short plays that you've had as episodes on Gather by the Ghostlight are now actually published over on Ghostlight Publication. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
The short audio plays get published in the annual anthology of Gather by the Ghostlight, the annual year one, year
right,
two,
right.
year three book.
Mm-hmm.
But those aren't published separately for Ghostlight Publication.
Well, I mean, like, there's one, what is it? Harvey Saves Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Hugo.
Hugo Saves Christmas.
I was there with you.
Yeah. That's okay. Available as, so if somebody heard the audio play.
Yes.
And was like, you know what? This would be great for our school or our community theater or a professional group to work as practice material or something like that, or actually perform.
Yeah.
They could now find that on Ghostlight Publication.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that was one of the few full length plays that I did do as an audio play.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's not like a 2-hour full length play. I think it runs maybe 80, 90 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. So that one wasn't too bad. It's a small cast. But yeah, so that one is out there. If people find that script on, you know, Ghostlight Publications, they can get a link to, oh, well, there's an audio play, but I could just, you know, I can give it a listen and see if this would be something for our, for our, you know, theater or venue.
The same for Kingdom. So if you listen to Kingdom and you're like, this is hilarious, I need to do this, then you can just go over to the publication site and get it from there.
Right. You can either order the script or you can listen to it. And then if you like it and want to do it, you can apply for performance rights.
That's awesome.
On the website.
Yeah. That's so cool. That is so cool. So that's kind of what this last, you know, year of Gather by the Ghostlight has wrought as we're looking into season five. I mean, which is crazy. Season five for Gather by the Ghostlight. What's on the horizon? You talk about the 700 plays and some of those obviously will be there, but as the show itself, you're part of the Broadway podcast network. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You've got these other things going on. You have a full-time job.
I do. You know, still work full-time. Right. And then I have this second full-time job, which is called podcasting.
Right.
Which
right.
doesn't pay anything. Right.
It's the worst full-time job ever.
This podcast steals money from me.
Right. Believe I'm me, in the I negative. I know it.
So a couple of things we got coming up for season five is in July, which this actually ties into Ghostlight Publications. Le Chat Noir Theater has given us 2 weekends mm-hmm. to perform a play, a stage play. Mm-hmm. And so one of the plays in our lineup at Ghostlight Publications is a play called All Bark, No Bite, written by Kara Emily Krantz. It is a hilarious play. And if you listen to Gather by the Ghostlight, she wrote the short audio play called Recess that starred Mia Price and Luke Romagnoli, the two kids, mm-hmm. You know, playing adult and all that. And that was just, I loved her short play Recess, and I continued reading her work. And when I came across All Bark, No Bite, and I knew I was doing this publishing thing, I reached out to her, and she was, you know, she was totally gung-ho about doing it. And now I've gotten her a production through Ghostlight Publications, locally at Le Chat Noir Theater, which that's an exclusive announcement.
Breaking
I haven't told anyone outside yet.
That's
so
awesome.
That's the down low on that. Which I, of course I told her, this isn't a surprise for her.
What?
Although I shouldn't have told her and just had her be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And then aside from that, we have coming up in October, much like we did with Kingdom, we are doing a horror play recording, audio
play,
live recordings. It's going to be, like I said, Kingdom style with the mics in front of the actors. We're getting about 4 or 5 short horror audio plays. This is officially the submission call. There will be a more official one online and all the playwriting groups. But if you have a short horror audio play that's like 30 minutes or less, and you want us to perform it in front of a live audience, which will hopefully be sold out again. Mm-hmm. We're going to have our Foley guy, TJ McSherry. Hopefully, it's her husband.
I'll hopefully see if he's up for it.
Hopefully, he'll agree to this. And part of the submission call is, look, I don't. Your dialogue may be scary as all get out, but we want some sound effects. You know, your script needs to have a chainsaw in it. Your script needs to have a monster snarling. You know,
right.
It needs to have cool effects that we can play with, because no matter how scary your dialogue is, if it's not entertaining, if we cannot use TJ McSherry as our Foley guy to give him something to do,
right?
Then that's what we want to make a good live performance out of this for these Foley effects audio plays. So yeah, we're taking 30 minutes or less horror audio plays to record in front of a live audience.
That's awesome.
And those will become, we'll separate them, those will become individual episodes for October.
Okay. So That's great. And what's the, is there an email address or a website where they can submit those,
seeing as
this is official?
This is official. So submissions@gatherbytheghostlight.com.
Boom.
It's that easy.
Submissions@gatherbytheghostlight.com. So if you have that 30 minute or less horror, think of it again. You may have that short play already, but you need to think of it in terms of how does the audio portion play out? Because a lot of people, when they're writing, I assume when they're writing your play, right? When you think visually of what's going to happen on the stage, well, kind of close your eyes. What are the sounds that you hear happening on stage to convey that sense of dread or eeriness or whatever? So that's awesome. Yeah. Submissions@gatherbytheghostlight.com.
And other than that, we are...
We got inspired at SETC. Inspired.
So Southeastern Theater Conference.
Tell them Devin and I, we had a table at SETC. I'll let you go into all this.
So we went and we were there to tell everybody about Gathered by the Ghostlight and tell about our publication side. And we went to some of the classes and met a bunch of people. And basically anybody who saw our sign, Gathered by the Ghostlight, they just had... were so enthralled by the name and the picture. And so they would always come up and then get really excited when they found out what we actually do, because mm-hmm. we were, I think, the only podcast there far as I knew.
Yeah. There's a lot of universities, a lot of stage lighting companies, a lot of technical type companies.
Right. We were the only, equipment and stuff like that.
We were the only one there that produces audio plays. And it was really cool to people. A lot of students out there want to be voice actors. And we met a lot of playwrights.
So we went to like a playwright meetup and we went to a voiceover class. Then so we met a bunch of people there and it kind of inspired us to try to put together some of our own teaching opportunities, people around town or possibly getting in some guest speakers to teach.
Yeah. So nothing, no official dates yet, but we are wanting to launch sort of an educational track for Gathered by the Ghost Site. So sort of like a voice acting workshop, which my idea, if I get the budget to do so, if I get a grant, if I get something, I would love to bring in a notable voice actor from the industry, one that's been heavily involved in animation or video games over the years, one that could just come to our community and kind of, you know, because we have some great local actors, local stage actors. And then when I get them in here to record, you know, we get a good voice acting out of them as well, but that's not what they were trained to do. That's not what they've ever studied.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I would love to just kind of bring someone in to kind of teach that
tips and tricks and
just the little things
stuff
that,
about,
you know,
the industry,
because I'm still learning myself.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things when I have people in here, I'm trying to direct them. I don't always know how to convey what I'm trying to say. Whereas, someone who does this for a living, they may have a better sense of how to explain, you know, oh, try this or try that, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, and I don't know if that'll be like a 4 or 5 week class or it might just be a one day thing. But that's something we're looking into.
That's
From that, we're also wanting to, we have a lot of local writers as well. So I would love to also put together a playwriting type class here in Augusta. I'm a playwright and I know local playwrights, but there are also great playwrights in like Atlanta that are in driving distance that I could, you know, if we can get, you know, someone to sort of, you know, get into our local sets.
No, I love that. And, you know, and the thing is, I think that's what you're talking about in bringing an educational arm to Gathered by the Ghostlight. It just continues to convey the heart that you had in creating this podcast, that it is about telling stories and it is about connecting people with stories and storytelling. Storytelling is how we've conveyed our history forever. You know, and granted a story about somebody saving Christmas or somebody, you know, escaping, you know, the howling monster getting through the roof or something like that is, not necessarily historical, but there's so much that you can learn that art opens up in your mind. Whenever you can be exposed to any type of art like that, it makes you, I think, a better, more well-rounded person. And the fact that that's part of what you want to continue to see happen with this, I just commend you for that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I'm really glad that Devin has been helping as much as she has the past, since August of last year when this officially became nonprofit. Back in August is when, you know, I kind of roped. Again, I scammed her into, you know, coming to help me do some stuff.
Yeah, and Devin, for you, what does this podcast, this Gather by the Ghostlight, what does that mean to you to be a part of it?
Well, kind of like how you said, I just love storytelling and the arts, and I find that I'm also a musical theater teacher, so I teach musical theater to children, and I find that storytelling and acting and all things along those lines really help with empathy. And I think that's something that our world really needs.
Yeah.
Because that's really the only way that comes to my mind that you can teach empathy is you're acting as someone else. You have to think like someone else. You have to understand not everybody thinks like you. And so, and even as a playwright, you have to get into those characters' minds and they can't all be the same. Otherwise your story is kind of boring, right?
Right.
So, I think just for the well-being of the world, I know that sounds kind of cheesy, we need the arts. And it's great to have another outlet and another way to do that. And just working with my friends, honestly, it's fun.
what's the saying? It's like on a meme, it's like earth without art is eh.
Eh.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And thank you so much for stepping up to be a part of this and for helping Jonathan, because I do know we've had text threads back and forth where it's like, dude, what is going on? Why is this so hard? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So being able to help him to continue to produce such amazing art is amazing. Also, I'm going to throw this out there, seeing as you just said that. Mm. We need a musical episode of Gathered by the Ghostlight. Boom. Just saying it.
You know what?
Because you're a musician. You could write something. Yeah. No, some lyrics going.
You know what I said? I said I do read at least one play per day on New Play Exchange. I have read some musicals.
Mm.
So, I don't know. I've had that.
Put a pin in it.
I've had that idea. The pin is in it.
Hey.
But yeah, I also want to say one of the great things about working with all the talented local actors is you get a sense of who has that drive, who's out there auditioning all the time. And, you know, they don't, and they may not get every single role they audition for. So it's kind of nice. Yeah. It's kind of nice having this as I do episodes often enough to where, you know what, if you didn't get in that play at, you know, Augusta Players or Aiken or wherever, you know, guess what, you know, why don't you come and
acting fix,
play with me a little bit, you know, just record a little something here. Cause I, you know, like I said, I put them out often enough to where hopefully I'm given enough people opportunity to kind of work their voice muscles.
Well, and I appreciate that myself. And I sent you a text about that. You know, as I've transitioned into actually trying to do more voice acting and doing more voiceover and doing coaching with some folks, you know, a win is a win. Because when you're audition all the time, you know, you're not supposed to think about the auditions. You're supposed to just send them off into the void and forget about them, you know. But when you do that so much and you never hear anything back, you know, having just a little something to keep you moving forward is very, very important. So I appreciate it as a voice actor that you know, like, hey, I'd like to have you do this thing, you know, and not that your parts are little. I didn't mean that, you know. I just mean that it something is a validation that you're on the right path, and it keeps me as an artist moving forward and continuing, as opposed to like, you know what, I'm gonna flip burgers at the old Whack Donald's, you know, or something like that. So,
and speaking of auditions, for the July play, All Bark No Bite, the stage play we're doing at LaChat, we will be having auditions for that. There will be sides posted on our website. People can go check those out. And audition dates, don't know yet. It'll be towards the end of May probably, or early June. But yeah, so there'll be auditions for that. But we've been talking about doing auditions for, which we never remote really done actors, this before, for we're not just remote actors, but just the audio plays that get produced, setting up, putting the sides online to where if you're a local actor, you can go and record your voice with some of the sides. And even if you don't have the best equipment, use your phone or whatever, but we'll get a sense of how you deliver lines, and it'll just open it up to getting more people involved. Cause right now it's like, I know a lot of the local actors and I can kind of see who is active in the theater community. There have been some people I've reached out before that I had never met in person before asking them, but I knew they were active in the theater community. And so I had them come in and record. So setting up an audition process for not only locals, but also remote actors, because the sides will be available to on the website to anyone that wants to kind of read through, you know, email your voice sample to us. And like I said, you don't have to have a demo reel, just a recording. If you're local,
yeah.
If you're local, you'll come record with me if you get cast in it. If you're remote, then yeah, you do gotta have
at least be able to record the sides and then send it in. Yeah, and as a voice actor and trying to do it professionally, being on somebody's roster is very important. So as you're building your own roster of talent, that's important because that gives you variety to choose from. To have the right people to play the roles as they come along, but also as an actor, knowing that you're part of something that is one prolific in now we're going into 5 seasons, and also high quality so that you can say, hey, yeah, I was a part of that. This, if you want to hear a sample of how I do some of this stuff, as expensive as it is to actually have a demo done, being able to say, well, here's an actual real world example of some stuff I've done, and at least be able to point somebody to that instead of having to say, I don't have $2,500 to do a demo right now, but I still need to try and, audition. So I think that's amazing that you're looking at building your roster.
And also, speaking of recording demo reels, for the education track we want to do with a voice acting class, one of the things I would like to offer in that is by the end of the sessions, whether it be 4 or 5 weeks, you'll come here and you'll record a demo reel with me, whether it be I cast you in an audio play where you get to do a character there, or we just find you some scripts where you want to explore different characters, record yourself your own demo reel. So that would be something included with whenever this voice acting class takes off. And with the playwriting, the plan for that is all the students in that will work on their short scripts over the course of 4 or 5 weeks, whatever. And then at the end of that, we'll do a live performance of either it be stage readings or a showcase, or if we do get actors that just kind of get in there and memorize real quick, we'll do a little performance. But whatever it be, the students in those classes that wrote their short plays will get to experience it work, and they'll have an audience to, get feedback from.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. Any other surprises coming in season 5 I know it's whatever might happen to pop up. Can we look forward to another Christmas episode? I still got Santa in my back pocket.
I know. Give us a quick Santa right now. Give us a quick Santa. There he is. Everything that I mentioned is all the stuff that's kind of confirmed, other than the education side of things. It's a pretty solid idea, but there isn't any confirmed dates yet. Every other idea we have is just, it's an idea for now. And so I don't want to like show cards early and then nothing comes to fruition. But as far as us traveling, like we did SETC, we are going to plan on going to GTC, which is the Georgia Theater Conference, which I believe is in Gainesville this year. Okay. And we'll probably also have a booth at Arts in the Heart.
Nice.
Which is here in Augusta, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And that is sometime in October or September.
Yeah, September. Yeah. It's like the first or second time. Weekend.
Awesome. Well, awesome. And again, if you would like to support Gather by the Ghostlight, check out the website, gatherbytheghostlight.com. There's a way that you can buy Jonathan a coffee. And that's just a portal to donate to Gather by the Ghostlight. And again, it is a nonprofit, so it's tax deductible. You can sign up to do a monthly donation of as little as $5 a month if you want to. To help continue this product, to help continue the production of the audio plays, but also all these other things that they want to do with Gather by the Ghostlight. So I definitely encourage you to check out gatherbytheghostlight.com, buy them a coffee. And then also, if you enjoy the plays, if you enjoy the podcast itself, please go to whatever platform you're on. They pretty much all have an option to give a 5-star rating. Please give a 5-star rating. If you're on Apple Podcasts, there's a way to write a review as well. Write a review, tell folks what you like about Gather by the Ghostlight, because it does help increase the reach of the podcast itself, allows more people to find Gather by the Ghostlight. Yes, they're on the Broadway Podcast Network, but still, it's still a local podcast. It's still quality, high quality, great value, but little things like that don't cost you a thing. to be kind and give a 5-star rating or write a review means so much to podcasters. Believe me, I know, I'm speaking from experience. It means so much to see that little email come through to let you know that you got a new review. So I encourage you, go to whatever your platform is, leave that 5-star rating, write a review, and let folks know what you love about Gather by the Ghost Life.
Well, hey. All right, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming
and doing this. And
I appreciate you asking
everyone,
me to come in here again.
You know, look for Chewing the Fat with Big Rob on whatever your podcast player is. Rob's one of the best interviewers I've ever met. He's much better than me. much more well-spoken than I am. And Devin, thank you again.
Yeah,
I'll leave it up to the adoring fans out there if they want to keep you around or not.
Oh God!
just send an email to submissions at get.
If you would like to co-host,
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you all for listening, and if you are associated with a theater and you would like to produce the play you heard today on your stage, send an email to gatherbytheghostlight@gmail.com. And if you'd like to have some cool Gather by the Ghostlight merchandise, t-shirts are available at the merchandise link in the show notes. You can also find the Gather by the Ghostlight annual companion books available at Amazon, as well as ghostlightpubs.com. Intro and outro music, as always, is provided by artist JK47. And if you enjoy this podcast, maybe you're a longtime listener, or maybe this is the first episode you've ever heard, let us know. Please leave us a rating or a review in all the places that you can, and be sure to follow Gather by the Ghostlight on social media to stay up to date on new episodes. I'm Jonathan Cook, and as always, stay safe, and I'll see you next time we Gather by the Ghostlight.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.